This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening word for word across Australia on the Community Radio Network from Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
Here in Australia for her one-woman show, which is also a book, one of four that she's written, is Carrie Fisher. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's five, one of five.
Five.
He's not very bright, but wow. We put up with him.
I know. Okay, good.
That's okay.
One
of five. We told you, one of five.
I can't, you know.
You can't get good help.
It.
You love writing.
I do love writing. Well, not all the time. Not when it went from inclination to obligation. So sometimes I do writing as, you know, a job. God forbid. But I do it also just for myself.
You have a real love of words, though. You talk about a love of words.
I fell in love with words when I was very young and started underlining the ones that I didn't know and the ones that the phrases that I thought were incredible. And so I wanted to be a wordsmith like Dorothy Parker.
Oh.
And I realized early on that she was 5'1", dark hair, dark eyes, half Jewish, and married a gay guy. So, but she married hers twice. So
she married twice, the same one twice.
Yeah. Well, the rumor, I mean, in those days, it was just more rumor that he was gay, but he was gay.
He was gay.
Now, you have become a bit of a gay icon yourself, and your mother was pretty much a gay icon too. Is it something that you inherited, or is it something that you
earned? It's genetic, yeah. No, it's totally genetic, and, you know, I'm happy for it. It's genetic in the same way that manic depression is. Or maybe the manic depression is what's pulling the gay people to me.
It could be.
Especially the manic side.
It could be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a child with a gay man, so I turned him gay, though.
Oh.
I have a superpower.
You're the one.
Yeah, I've turned you guys gay, too, didn't I?
No.
You did. I was about four.
Well, now how old are you? I've got to figure
39.
Oh, all right. Well, that was me then. Yes, that was me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about the other foot. Well, my husband would have turned me lesbian then, maybe.
He would have,
yeah.
Did he?
Our husband should have hooked up at some stage then,
maybe
made things
they
equal.
Did. You know, we're talking about the old days.
I know. Now, talking about gay and lesbian, you would have had your fair share of stalkers in your time. A couple.
Both male. Yeah, yeah,
male and female.
Male. And I have
Oh,
if
yes.
If I say anything down here, it's ending up everywhere in the world, so I have to...
Oh, we're not that far away anymore.
So
the
no,
internet
it's
connects
all
us.
Viral. So I found that anything I say that I have never said before is ending up in Toronto. So
is that where it goes?
I'll just say that, you know, I have a lot of gay friends both sorts, and you know, my daughter's father.
Yeah.
So that really is. And my daughter has a stepfather.
Okay.
And a father.
As you do. Well, that's quite common in from Joy 94.9.
In California, yeah.
Now, speaking of gay icons, Liz Taylor was the woman your father left Debbie Reynolds for.
As well he should.
And she's quoted as saying, "Have you ever noticed that he's the only husband I never talk about?" What's your relationship like with Liz Taylor?
I called her to tell her that he had passed away, and she cried.
Which was only recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she might not talk about him, but... You know, I think they were, I said to her at one point, you know, "Did you love my dad?" And she said, "We kept Mike Todd alive." And that was her husband previously, who died in a plane crash. And then my father adopted Liza Todd, who was, you know, Mike Todd's child. And they were then married for 4 years. And Liz converted to Judaism for my father.
Really?
So get over yourself.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
There you go. Well, here I am. That'll go to Toronto.
That'll go to Toronto. Tell me what Christmas was like. How weird
Christmas
was Christmas?
Was in Las Vegas.
Yeah? So that
so
was the annual
times.
Thing as a kid?
Yeah. So you'd have like Noel spelt out in, you know, windows on Caesar's Palace. The only thing there was to do in those days was circus. For kids, I mean.
Yeah.
So it was really, and all we used to do was we would page things like Jimmy Hitler telephone, please, Mr. Or you know, I don't even, what are those ones?
Where the very Simpsons kind of things you do.
You know, those dirty names that you can think, I don't even remember them anymore, but I know you do. You would page that person.
Your father, you said, was shooting up crystal meth for 13 years. And you called him Puff Daddy because he liked a joint too.
Well, more recently, he went down. He sort of, as other people, like the gateway for them, gateway drug was pot. My father went from crystal meth to cocaine to pot.
He went backwards.
Took it backwards, yeah. And he was not smoking it for medicinal purposes. And so, you know, we called him Puff Daddy, yeah.
Now, of all of the things that your dad could have sadly passed away from, it was really complications from a hip operation, I believe.
Yes, that and a strip show.
Which you hired for his birthday.
A strip show for his... Yeah, the nature of his passing is very upsetting to me, so we won't talk about it. Because I don't know that it needed to happen right then. But... you know, but his birthday had only been a month earlier, and we'd gotten him these strippers before, these other strippers, and he loved them too much. He wanted them to move in. So this time I was there, though. I wasn't there the first time. So this time the strippers came, stripped, and he said afterwards, never again.
Too much excitement.
And he was right.
He was right.
Now let's talk about just how do you navigate relationships with such a public life?
How do I never get them?
Navigate.
Both things are true. Navigate. Well, obviously, I don't do it that well. You know, I just kind of like go through it the white water that it is. And
I mean, you could. Paul Simon wrote a song.
About seven.
Seven. C5,
come
seven.
On, see,
same
you guys
thing.
Are really bad on numbers.
Yeah, I know.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Ooh. Two.
Okay.
That's because she's telling you to go away.
Yeah, I know.
But what's that like? I mean,
it's harder, I think. What it does is, I had this shrink say to me once, the reason that celebrities mate, and don't visualize that if you can avoid it.
Thanks for that, yeah.
Yeah. Is because the issue of celebrity is then neutralized. You don't have to think, oh, he's liking me for that thing. And you can go into a shorthand of certain things. There are certain things about being a celebrity that only a celebrity knows. Doing interviews, going to premieres, being photo, you know, whatever it would be, right? But if you're a female and you have a civilian husband, use me as an example, they're going to be Mr. Fisher. So what could happen, and this happened to another friend of mine, a celebrity friend of mine who got a civilian boyfriend. And what he did was he tried to make her kind of, since she was bigger in the world, she had to be smaller at home. So, right. And I've done that too. It tends to, you know, your spine curves a little and you have to let them be the big man.
It's just been announced recently that the entire Star Wars franchise is about to be re-released in cinemas
3D.
In 3D. Earlier this year, you paid homage to George Lucas. What formative part did he have in your life? Because he was clearly a big part of it in your stardom.
Well, you know, he gave me that stupid hairstyle and forever stigmatized me that way. And he gave me a great time, you know. I mean, going through that, being the only girl on an all-boy fantasy. I mean, there literally were no... I thought later what they should do as a way of, like, compensating is have a shopping planet. You know, having, like, the planet where girls could go. I want a manicure before we hit the Death Star again.
At least,
new dress?
A hairdresser.
What pissed me off was that new girl, my mother, who's a lot prettier than me, she got a new dress every time she walked through a doorway. So that is not fair.
And a bra.
Everything.
And underwear.
Everything. And I got one dress. Oh, okay. One and a half for that first movie. And no underwear. There's no underwear in space.
Why was there no underwear in space?
Because he said when you go into space, he explained it to me literally like this makes sense. And if it does to you, I feel bad
for you. Okay, I'm ready.
If you go into space and you become weightless, so far so good, right? But then,
unless you breastfed,
your body expands, but your bra doesn't. Okay. So you get strangled by your bra. Literally, I swear to God, this is how he explained it.
Has
to
George
me.
Been doing some of the smoking?
He does. He is the straightest man alive. Just would never. He comes from like Central California. I've never known him to do a thing, drug wise.
The,
or alcohol.
Yes.
The recent loss of Heath Ledger, Michael Jackson, Brittany Murphy, and your own battle with drugs, is it a surprise to you that perhaps you didn't end up that way?
Yeah, probably. I mean, one thing that this doctor said to me, I overdosed when I was 29, like most celebrities know. But and so there's this woman in the hospital said to me, "Were you trying to commit suicide?" And I was totally indignant. This was in postcards. Absolutely not. She said, "Well, your behavior is very suicidal." And I said, "Well, my behavior might be, but I'm certainly not." So I wasn't, but you know, yeah. Drugs in a way saved my life. I think if I hadn't had them to, you know, sort of dull one of seven edges, then I don't know if I would have survived.
Well, your normality is far, far removed from the average normality of anybody else. I mean, you were surrounded.
Supposedly. Emotionally, I'm probably closer to you all than you know it.
Absolutely. But I mean, just being surrounded by celebrities, drugs, all that kind of thing is a very different, or it's far removed from.
It seems farther, I think, than it does, because you're really talking about, it's just like other people, only that much more so. Maybe it's, you know, other people squared, but it is the root of it, the base of it is all emotional. I mean, you know, what would Heath Ledger, those people have emotional problems. And I think show business probably magnifies any problem you have. It makes good people great and bad people awful.
The show is titled Wishful Drinking. It's one and only star, the one and only Carrie Fisher. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for being joined.
Word for Word is made possible thanks to funding provided by the Community Broadcasting Foundation and is distributed nationally to over 70 radio stations in the Community Radio Network. Word for Word is produced by Robert Brierley and presented by Dean Beck and Sue Wilkinson from Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Melbourne's Joy 94.9.
Service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.